Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Greasy Pigeon Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Sullivan, and with me, as always, there he is. Again, a little deeper with the pumpkin spice latte this late September, Kev. The one and only Kevin Trussler, man. What's going on, buddy?
I am doing fantastic. We are full-blown pumpkin spice in the Trussler household, that's for sure. You know, the weather here in the Tampa Bay area did have a little bit of a dip. You know, it's a teaser for the fall. It's not what, the North is feeling, but hey, hockey season is right around the corner. And for us, it's already starting, right? With the kids and junior and travel, house league, you name it. It's alive and well.
It is all up and running. And as you know, we spent some time at the Labor Day tournament at Advent Health Center Ice in Wesley Chapel. Great response to our two players, Adam and Bryce, last week on the show and their interviews and the socials. And you know what I found really cool, Kev, is you had parents and family members and parents of other players, you know, commenting and liking and sharing. But especially on Instagram, we had a lot of their teammates or other kids that are on Instagram, because they're on, younger and younger, right? And they're commenting on the post and they're sharing the post and they're talking, and it's all like, hey, that's, Adam and the nicknames. And I don't even remember, I wish I remember them, but Salad. So Adam's nickname is Salad. So like, oh, there's Salad. Oh, Salad. Like, it's just awesome to watch that interaction and the kids and having fun with it. And that's really what it's all about. And the seasons have started, and some teams are off to good starts, some teams aren't, but as we know, it's about just kind of getting your footing and going from there.
Yeah. It's again, I preach it all the time. It's not how you arrive to the show, it's who you leave with at the end, right? And you hope it's going to be that big trophy. Obviously only one team gets to win it, but it's the grind and the process of seeing your team getting better and better each and every practice, each and every game. And with that, there's going to be hiccups, and that's the fun part about it. Like, it's how do these teams and kids deal with adversity, and how do those same teams that have success at the beginning not get too full of themselves and thinking that they're on top of the world already. So yeah, it's fun to see. I love to see how the game has grown here in Florida, with the kids obviously being very active on the socials. It's exciting.
Absolutely. So I want to take a quick detour to the world of ACHA college hockey, and I would love you to give us a quick update on Carter Trussler, former Nest guest, and obviously your son, and great friend of mine, playing up there, U10. I know he's gotten game time. We weren't sure he was, fighting for a spot on that team, made it, and then fighting for ice time for now through the rest of the season, of course. And in no surprise to me, got on the ice really early on in the season. And give us an update on kind of how it's going up there in Knoxville.
Yeah, the Vols, they started the season on the road. It was a tough road. They were in Chapel Hill on Friday night, played the Tar Heels, and he was a healthy scratch for that game. They had chances, they just couldn't put the puck in the net, and they dropped that one. They had to get on a bus the next day, and they went to Lexington, Kentucky to play the Wildcats. And what was interesting about that, Carter did actually get in the lineup there, but puck drop was not until 12 a.m. It was a midnight puck drop.
The old midnight barn burner midnight in Lexington, Kentucky. Put that on your bingo card, folks.
And I got to tell you, like, he said he's never played in an environment where that energy, I guess the way the rink is. I know former guest Brent Fuller, when he was on, he had played in that same rink. It was, the stands were packed. They were packed and ready to go. And they dropped, they unfortunately dropped that one. Again, I thought they played well. They couldn't score. So they had last weekend off, and this weekend they're back home, and they play two against West Virginia. But he had a blast. I thought he played well. He held his own. You can definitely tell that, he's playing against some men out there that aren't in their teens anymore. They're definitely heavy. They throw it around. So
the question that everybody wants to know, did Kevin Trussler stay up at midnight and watch the game
full
live?
Blast? I was wrecked the next day.
Full tilt, wrecked because of the game or wrecked because of the vino, buddy?
There might have been a little bit of both, for sure. But yeah, I don't see 3 a.m. Really ever anymore. And it was a 3 a.m. shutdown that night or morning. And that Sunday was a waste. It was not pretty, but no, fun to be able to see it. I can't wait to see it live. We're going to be going on up there in mid-October. Again, hopefully the boys can figure out a way to get the puck in the net, and would love to see Carter get in the game. Time will tell, but yeah, they're 0-2 to start, but it's early. It's early right now.
Absolutely. Well, I have full faith in Seatrust breaking the lineup quite a few times, and that team, you know, doing well, and it is fun to watch. And I have not watched either one of the first two games. I'll catch a more friendly time to watch the experience out of Knoxville for sure. But no, all the best to Carter, and thanks for the update. And that's awesome to hear. And yeah, looking forward to updates moving forward for sure. So, today's show, we've got two great guests with us, and the first one, we're going to interview Florida Alliance 18 AAA player Ashton Stavish. Ashton, born and raised Florida, hockey player, rec, everything we've talked about, rec to travel to AA to Alliance tournament to Alliance full season, and then hopefully next year into tier two junior, you know, if you can crack that lineup, and got a great future, great personality, fun to talk to. So we're going to hear from Ashton and his story, and just kind of, you know, your thoughts, Kev, on him being that player that went through everything we talk about, right? His career wasn't ruined because he started playing hockey at 8 and played 2 years of rec, right? Like, so just, you know, just curious your thoughts on his kind of pathway to get to where he is now.
I mean, we know the kid, we know his skills. He is a beast, right? And, you know, to see that born and raised here in Florida is fun. The fun fact is he's actually the captain of Jesuit this year, his high school team. So, you know, obviously they're a perennial beast in the Lightning High School Hockey League. But yeah, one of those that he played multiple sports, decided to go hockey because it was hot outside. And that's the funniest thing right there. It's the beauty of Florida. It's so hot out there. We might as well go in where it's cool and enjoy that. But yeah, he's been a success. Interested to see how his play U18 team does this year. I know that they're playing against some stiff competition, and the fact that he doesn't have to travel that much for practicing and they're able to practice, you know, cohesively here is a big thing. But yeah, big things to come with that that kid. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Absolutely. And speaking of big things to come and getting out of the heat, our second guest after we talked to Ashton is going to be Hillsborough County Commissioner Chris Bowles. And Chris has been in the news lately because of his proposal at the Mosey, thank you. I am not a local.
Yep.
At the Mosey redevelopment site outside of USF up there by Busch Gardens in Tampa. Big mixed use development facility, 70 acres looking to be developed, including the museum, including other things. One of them being a potential for a 4-sheet facility. Interested to hear his whole story, right? Get into the nuts and bolts on what's exactly going on up there. What's his vision? What is the vision of the future for that area? But the fact that we're talking about additional sheets of ice on top of what is happening in Palm Beach Gardens with Larry Robbins and his group, what is happening in Trinity, that facility has been talked about for a while. Sounds like that's getting more traction for 4 more sheets up there in Trinity. I mean, there could be 12 new sheets of ice in the next 2 years, 3 years to get open across the state, 8 right here in the Tampa Bay area. That's just awesome for what we've been talking about. And I'm super excited to listen to him and hear what he has to say.
Yeah. And the fact that it's got ink, right? It's been in the media. So, you know, that the wheels are turning, and we've been preaching it for as long as you and I have known each other. And more importantly, the past year and a bit that we've been doing this, that this area can support more rinks. And for that option or those options to happen, specifically in our backyard, as the Tampa Bay area continues to explode, it's just going to be awesome for the game of hockey. And we've talked about it too. Yeah, hopefully that means that we don't see kids having to leave the state at earlier years. There's options that hopefully will be more options to have for them to stick around and make hockey in Florida even that much more competitive.
Absolutely. Yeah, looking forward to the two conversations and getting the deep dives from, you know, from Ashton from his player standpoint, but definitely from Commissioner Bowles from the standpoint of the development in the rink and all that. So without further ado, I do have one more question for Kevin before we let him go. Kevin, what is, I need the current state of all things Niagara in the fall sports world. What's the Trussler outlook on the MLB and the NFL season so far?
So, you know, very happy with what the Jays have done in the MLB. The buzz is definitely there. They haven't punched their ticket yet to the postseason, but I think that's probably going to happen, you know, hopefully this weekend or at least early next week. I think there's only 3 series left. But, you know, as far as NFL, it's Buffalo Bills. Buffalo Bills are buzzing, man. They're first 2 games. That first game was insane. I have to say, I didn't stay up for it. It was a Sunday night. They were getting blown out. And I was like, you know, we'll see what the headlines say in the morning. And, you know, definitely disappointed that I didn't get to see the end of that. But hockey season up there is in full blast. My younger brother, he's got three boys. Two of them are playing some travel, and it's they just wrapped up baseball and soccer, and it's full bore now with getting into hockey. So he is a busy person with having to balance that, divide and conquer.
And how's and one last piece, how's Johnny doing with the Toronto outlook for the Leafs this year?
He doesn't get too high, he doesn't get too low. He's had years of disappointment being a Leaf fan, and I think the Leafs, it looked good last year.
I was gonna say, has he got the mesh folding chair on the parade route already, or is he gonna wait just a little bit longer?
Now, I will say he is definitely not one that gets, the glass can be a little half empty there. So he is not one of those that's planning the parade. Not like the Sabre fans, right?
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, Chris.
Yeah, sorry, buddy. But
Sorry, buddy.
I'm pulling for the Sabres. Hopefully they can make the playoffs this year. I mean, that fan base deserves it, is as much as it pains me as a Bruin fan.
Yeah, no, and we are getting real close to camps and to all things NHL, and we'll probably take a detour from the local community conversations here in a little bit and start to break down, where the Lightning stand, Panthers' chances of repeats, and then a quick tie-in with what we usually talk about, right? Bruins and Leafs and some of the big hitters in the Eastern Conference especially. But it's all for another day, and when the weather's hopefully a little cooler and we are deep into fall with the leaves have fallen off the trees and the colors have changed. For now, let's take a short break, and when we come back, we will talk to our good friend Ashton Stavish next in the Nest. Welcome back, everybody. We are pleased to be joined by our next guest, who is a staple of the Florida hockey community, the scene. He's been a player for many, many years. He now plays 18 AAA for the Florida Alliance. I've had the pleasure of coaching Ashton for a season on the ice. Kevin has been around him for some joint practices and joint sessions with some other teams. Great player, great kid. I know him very well, and I'm super excited he decided to join us in the Nest tonight. So, Ashton Stavish, welcome to the Pigeon's Nest, man, and thanks for joining us.
Of course. Thank you guys for letting me come on, talk about Florida hockey.
Absolutely, buddy. I really want to hear your angle of kind of the whole thing, right? So let's start with where we start with most of our guests that play. What's your hockey story? When did you start? Where did you start? And kind of how did it go from whenever until now?
So it started, I always loved watching hockey. Probably, I mean, obviously the Lightning when I was around probably 8 years old. And then I was watching a game, and at the time I was playing like soccer and baseball. But I was like, it is way too hot to play this. Like I remember I would always come off the field like, I can't play, it's too hot. Like always coming to get water. And then so we're watching a Lightning game, and I told my mom, I was like, I want to try skating. And she was like, she told my dad when I was born, the first two things, she was like, he's never playing hockey and he's never playing football because he doesn't want to get hurt. So
How'd that work out, Mom? How'd that work out, right?
Now she just, yeah. But yeah, so then she took me to a free skate at TBSA, and she was like, oh, he's gonna like fall and he's gonna hate it. And yeah, it's quite the opposite. So started skating and playing, started at TBSA just kind of with rec, and the like programs they have to offer over there. And then from there on, I played travel with Junior Lightning my squirt year. So I played there for 2 years, squirts, and then Pee Wees. I played at Ice Storm with Tyler Watkins for 2 years. And that was probably a big jump for me, because there was a lot of guys who played, I think it was Pee Wee year. So a lot of those 09s played Alliance. So they were all pretty talented at that age. So it really motivated me and everyone else around me to get better and take it more serious, because like we all wanted to win states, And so from there on, 2 years at Ice Storm, and then 14U, I head back to Junior Lightning. That's when I had the pleasure.
Yes, he did.
And he's still playing, Jess. That's a win
Yeah,
right
buddy.
there.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, that was another huge year for me, because while playing Junior Lightning, I also played split season with Alliance with my first year at AAA. And yeah, I mean, that year was big for me because the coaching staff of the Junior Lightning, we had Dimitri and Sammy Terho And of course, yours truly. But
I was the cone guy, and I filled the water bottles in case, just to be clear with everybody else out there.
But no, especially Dimitri. I mean, my skating has always been a weak point in my game at the time, and yeah, with his coaching and his skating ability, it really helped me to get faster, better on my edges with turning. And that was probably one of the biggest things for me. And so following that, I played Alliance split season. And I think we played maybe four or five tournaments, but still the main team was the Junior Lightning. And then from there, first 14U year, I played for Alliance, and that was based out of South Florida. So it was kind of brutal because, I mean, they made it better now, but every single weekend we didn't have a tournament. We'd have to drive to Fort Lauderdale and practice there. So it kind of sucked, but yeah.
It gets you ready for the long roadies as you move up, right? Like Now, were you out of the ice den down there? Was it skate zone or?
Yeah, it was ice den. Yeah.
Ice den. Yeah. So how did you find specifically the split season, playing in that upper level and then going back to the AA level from AAA? Did you feel like that's a spot in your career that your game took off and, you know, confidence was at an all-time high?
Yeah, I would definitely. That's the beginning of at least my confidence journey, because during that, when I played split season, I would play, it was 08s and 07s for the AA. So, you know, playing up with older kids in your league. So, you know, they're probably stronger, taller, maybe skilled. So it was cool to play them because it really kind of got you ready. And then when you went to those other tournaments with your age group, with the 08s, you know, you kind of have an advantage, like knowing that, well, like you're playing against other older guys, you know, like that are probably stronger and bigger, then you can, you like know kind of what to do.
You know, to keep the head up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you kind of played the split season and then now playing full season, and again, a lot of our listeners are the hockey families that are in the mix right now, right? They're 12, 14s or 10s, whatever, right? They're coming up, and there's now a AAA program out of South Florida, the Florida Surf, right? Larry Robbins was on a few months ago and talked through that whole expansion. And there's some question about what the Florida Alliance is going to be moving forward and how that's going to interact, because, you know, Seyhoff is backing out of the Alliance, and what does that look like? And are there going to be more independent AAA programs and whatever else? But from your standpoint, you've played rec, you've played travel AA, you've played tournament only Alliance, and now you play full season tournament Alliance. What are some of the biggest differences you've seen, Ashton, in the AAA expansion and the hockey that you've been a part of specifically in your tenure playing hockey here in Florida?
I mean, it's definitely growing, you know, especially this year with my 18U team, because I think almost half the kids are from out of state. So there's...
Wow.
Yeah.
No kidding. Wow.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool to see. Because, yeah, usually everyone's from Florida. Because, yeah, my 14U year, we had kids from Fort Lauderdale, Estero, and then Tampa. I think we had one in Orlando, kind of everywhere. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy to see this year that we have guys from Detroit, Chicago, South Dakota. It's probably the farthest one.
So it's truly being treated as a AAA development program to compete against the best of the best.
Oh yeah, 100%, 100%.
Now, are those kids, are they here for the year? Are they billeting, or how does that work as far as practices and all that fun stuff?
Yeah. So this year I'm billeting two kids.
Okay.
Yeah. They're from South Florida. So they went back cause we didn't have anything this weekend, but, yeah, they're two of my buddies. I've known them for a while now, and they were like, oh, we're playing Alliance. So then, we got to billet them, and they've been awesome. It's cool. It's a cool experience. You know, you don't really expect that from Florida. But yeah,
no doubt. But the kids that are out of state, then they are in the area then.
Yeah. So I think most of them are billeting, some with some parents that volunteer that aren't on the team, then others with teammates like me. And then I think two kids have their own apartment because they're 18 and their parents are just like, yeah, you can get your own apartment. which is kind of sweet.
That's cool though. Like you said, like it just goes to show you, right? We talk about the expansion of Florida hockey on the ice and how there's more kids and there needs to be more ice. And we're going to, you know, dive into that a little deeper later on in the show, but all the problems that exist from a, I don't know, I'll call it a nuts and bolts, you know, standpoint. But now you have billeting in the state of Florida, which means you're getting kids from out of Florida coming to Florida. And I know at the junior level, you know, TBJ and the Eels, especially, you know, I mean, well, both programs, actually a lot of Europeans that come over, right? So it happened at the junior level, but now it's happening at the youth level, and it happens at other places, CarShield, Penns Elite, Stars Elite, so on and so forth. You know, it happens at all those locations also. And now to Ashton, your point, you're getting it at the 18 trips level, which is honestly something I did not think was here already, but it just goes to show you how much further the hockey has gone. And so I guess my next question is, where are you as a team competitively when you travel to these tournaments? You know, how does it kind of give our listeners a rough outline of kind of how it works? You're still doing tournaments, but you're in leagues outside of the state, and you're participating and keeping records and playing for something. You're not just playing this tournament and that tournament just because. So kind of give them a breakdown of what your season looks like, and again, how is the competition when you're away?
Yeah, so every tournament is out of state and showcase, and then we have a couple host weekends. I think we have like two or three where we invite teams down to come play us. But yeah, I mean, every tournament, every showcase, you know, it's a grind. It's, you know, like you're proven why you should be on the ice, and we're playing against top 20, top 10 teams. And, you know, it's really a challenge because a lot of these guys are everyone at the 18U level is on the grind because they know next step is juniors and they don't really have a big gap. So if you want to get your dreams to play juniors, then you have to do it in 18. So everyone's going full throttle, 100%. And there's like very little room for error. So the games, they're mainly very physical, very fast paced. And yeah, I think we haven't really played a team yet that hasn't given us a game. So, but
so you guys you're handling the, you're competing, it sounds like.
Yeah, we're definitely competing, but I mean, we also have a really good group. Our coach, Chris Verzoli, he put together a pretty good team. It's fun.
Now, how many times a week are you guys practicing then? And where, is it multiple rinks that you're able to get ice with, or is there a home rink in the area?
Yeah, so we're practicing at a Clearwater. We practice at like 3, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then usually on off week, or we usually travel on Thursday, so we can't skate, but on off weekends we usually have skates, but luckily this weekend we got let off. But yeah,
I apologize, I was gonna ask you what's the off ice component, how much does Chris, you know, and I know Chris Verzoli, you know, in his coaching acumen is very impressive, and he's coached at a high level for a very long time. What does he demand of you off the ice? What's required? How much extra do you put in? What's Ashton's off ice go get him sort of schedule?
So my off ice schedule over the summer, because right now I have time, but over the summer, I was working out every 5 days a week at 7 a.m. to like 9 during the summer. So that helped me a lot because it built a lot of muscle. I could tell very quickly that I was getting way faster, stronger. And it was probably that's one of the biggest things in the off season. And then in season, so we're out of Clearwater, so we're lucky. We got kind of everything. We're allowed to use the shooting room there, the film room, the gym, whenever. So usually after practice, we hit a lift in the gym, and then we got film. And then usually I like to stay like an hour, maybe like 45 minutes, just go in the shooting room and just shoot pucks for a while. But yeah.
I was going to say that facility is top notch, what they put in there. So to be able to have access to that, it's that's almost like, you know, its own junior facility, to be honest, right? With how the gym is set up and the film room and the shooting room. So no, that's awesome. So, and Jeff, I don't want to jump ahead of you, but like, what's the long-term goal? I know we're just starting this season and you're in the grind, but what is, what's Ash looking at, you know, as far as next year goes?
Next year, I definitely want to play juniors, but definitely if it's worth it, because I'm a senior this year, so I don't want to jeopardize not going to college and risking my education, because I know that's a big thing my parents emphasize on. So, I mean, I definitely want to play juniors. That's definitely the end goal.
Colleges will be there in a couple of years, Ashton. You can
yeah.
you can afford to skate it out for another year or two, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Don't tell mom, but you no, can you know yeah. you can afford that, buddy. You're fine.
Well, the reality is though, you can do online too, right?
Yeah.
To start, you know, that's what my son did at least his first year. There was no gap in school. He was able to still have somewhat of a education while playing his final year in junior.
Yeah, because another I don't want to jeopardize me not playing junior hockey, because I mean that's the whole point. I'm playing here, you know, like I'm not doing this just for fun. I'm doing it so I can go somewhere with this sport. And I'm really looking forward to next year. I think good things will happen.
Are you leaning towards a certain junior league over another?
I mean, I want to play NOL, maybe NCDC, but definitely those two. And then maybe the BCHL, some of those Canadian leagues. But yeah.
A lot of options now, specifically with the NCAA and the major junior leagues playing nice finally, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The growth of the Canadian, I'll call them sub leagues, but they're not anymore. You know, the B is getting a ton of recognition lately as being a great kind of tier two, tier one and a half kind of equivalency out of Canada. And they're pumping a bunch of players into, you know, either the NOL or junior A in Canada, right? Or whatever. So the options are definitely there. And you know, knowing your game from my standpoint, you know, you've got the tools to put it together, which brings me to kind of my next question. So what is your style of game? You know, if you're talking to the scouts and the coaches of next year's teams and leagues, like what kind of player are they going to get from Ashton Stavish?
I would definitely say power forward, and probably maybe 2 years ago, you probably wouldn't hear that. You'd probably hear maybe a skills guy. But I kind of know my role now, especially being a little bigger, a little taller. But I mean, I love it. You know, I love doing my power moves, going around defenders, going wide in the corners, especially. And you know, I feel like every team has their skill guy. You know, has their role. And yeah, I would definitely say power forward.
Yeah. All right, so I got to tell the story because he totally opened the door for it, and I got to tell it. So there was a year that I was coaching at practice and I wasn't on the bench during games, and Ashton was on the ice. And it was during a tournament. I remember this, right? So Ashton's on the ice, and I'm part of the coaching staff, but I'm not a game day coach for that season. We're playing the game, and Ashton is 100% skills guy. Okay, all the way. No, there's no, you know, if he was a shortstop, there's not a speck of dirt on his pants, right? Like he is absolutely all skill out there. Okay. So, you know, yell from the stands for Ashton to use his size, because Ashton's always been a bigger kid. You know, he's kind of downplaying his size and his height. Ashton's a big kid. He's a big body out there on the ice. And I was trying to encourage him from the stands to use his body. And his grandmother looks over at me and goes, and she had this cute little accent, like just wonderful little lady to listen to, and in her little voice said, "That's right, you tell him he's big, he hits people." Absolutely. So Ashton, I'm glad to hear that finally you're big and you're hitting people, because your size is part of your game. 100%.
It's a gift, man. Yeah, you know, it doesn't mean you have to go out there being a bruiser, so to speak, but like, you know, being a bigger body, that becomes that's an advantage over someone who doesn't have that size, you know?
Yeah.
So, and for you to recognize that, and you know, there's going to be years where you are going to be the skill guy. You know, it's one of those things where if you can be a chameleon and find a spot on the team as to where they need you, then, you know, that just makes you that much more of a marketable player. So,
yeah. And we talk about it all the time. Dimitri talked to us a few weeks ago about how his game had to change when he got to the pro level. Like, you know, everyone has to find where they belong. Otherwise, there's no home for them. Any sport, any position, business, life, it doesn't matter. There's always a hole. And so the fact that you identified that early on, and you can figure out where your niche is on this team, where you can be next year, where you can be the year at, whatever that looks like, is super helpful. One last question before we let you go. You mentioned to start the conversation, and Kevin's huge on this, and quite frankly, so am I, but it's his soapbox. But I'm going to ask the question. How long did you play multiple sports before you hung up the cleats to only focus on the ice? Or are you still doing other sports in some capacity as well as hockey? We think it's huge. So I'm curious, what did that look like for you?
Yeah, so probably around, I would probably say 10. Yeah, 10, I started to just focus on hockey because I was still playing soccer, like flag football, baseball, just like kind of, it's like little fun activities, I guess, to do when you're younger. And yeah, I mean, I was still playing hockey at the time, I was still skating, whatever, maybe like once, twice a week just to get on the ice. But then, yeah, probably when I turned 10, it was the commitment to, you know what, this kid's just gonna play hockey now, so.
The problem is specifically down here in Florida, if you are playing competitive soccer or baseball, they seem to always want the commitment year round and don't play nice together. So it does force the hand of some kids, unfortunately, to make that transition early on. I'm sure you're still kicking around the ball or throwing the ball around here and there. So, it's not like a one trick pony, so to speak. You're an athletic kid, so it's exciting to see what you're going to do and what you bring to the table, and I'll be keeping an eye on those stats.
Ashton, man, we really appreciate you taking a few minutes and talking to us. Like you said, it's off night, off weekend, and you're still, willing to find a few minutes to talk to us about the game and your game and everything else. So we appreciate your time, and like Kevin said, we will be watching and rooting you on from the stands and wish you nothing but the best, man. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you guys. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. When we come back, we'll be talking to Hillsborough County Commissioner Chris Bowles about the expansion and potential new rinks in the Tampa area.
Hey, beauties, season started? Not getting the birds to chirp your way? Head on over to greasypigeon.com for some gear.
Welcome back, everybody. We are joined by Hillsborough County Commissioner Chris Bowles. Chris has been in the hockey news lately due to his sponsorship, I believe, or proposal, or he's going to break it all down for us of a hopefully new hockey facility in the Tampa area. So, Chris, we really appreciate you taking a few minutes to talk to us tonight, and welcome to the Pigeon's Nest.
Thank you. Thank you. By the way, I have to ask this question because where's Greasy Pigeon come from?
So,
I got to ask you a question before you
all
ask me a
right,
question.
perfect. I
That's
love
the only
it.
question I'll ask you. How's about that?
So in the hockey community, as the game is very chirpy when they're on the ice, one of the worst things you can actually call another hockey player is a pigeon. It
Right,
means
right.
you're subpar and you're crappy and you're not good.
Yep.
However, a greasy pigeon is a person or a move that's like so bad, it's kind of good. So
Okay.
it's like you can be really greasy and that could be good or bad. So it's kind of a play on,
It's like,
being good and bad at what we do. And let me tell you, that is me and Kevin to a T.
okay, it's kind of like saying, if I say you're sick, that's either cool
Exactly.
Or
Or it's
you're,
horrible.
yeah, it's
Yes.
horrible. All right.
Yep.
I'm down.
So
I get it.
that's where we come from. That's
Yeah.
it.
We're not afraid to get in the corners and get in front of the net, right?
Yeah.
Get greasy.
Hey, that's where all the action happens, man.
That's
Yes,
right.
it does.
And you got to get in
Absolutely.
a scrum there.
So speaking of scrums, you are fixing to be in a political one in Hillsborough County a little bit, I think. So just can you level set on what exactly the Mossy redevelopment program, at a high level is consisting of, and then kind of we'll get into where the hockey rink component falls into that.
Right. So the really has it started off with that whole project out there. So Mosey's based, right there off USF, right across the street from USF campus. There's about 70 acres that sit there. Used to have the Renaissance Festival there, a bunch of people running around in tights and stuff. LARPing out there and all that kind of, not my jam. Yeah, it's cool. But taking that land and doing something that's really productive with it. And so there has been this long-term goal. Before I got into office, that part was already kind of already going on. But before I got into office, this long-term goal of developing that area and that whole area, because there's a whole bunch of stuff going on there. If you go back in time, you think about the old University Mall. They tried to do something with it. It's kind of fell apart a little bit a few years back. Moffitt's really growing there. We got the USF Stadium at just, they're breaking ground on right there now. They're doing a lot of stuff there. The Claw is being redeveloped. So all this has been in play. And earlier this year, in about April or May this year, we started talking about where are we going to put something we call the field house, which is an indoor sports facility for hockey and basketball. And again, that was something that's been on the books. So there was a couple spots. That one seemed to be the best place. The board here, we all decided we're going to put it there at the Mosey property. So I start thinking, because of my history, my son used to play with the Junior Bulls down there in Brandon back up. He's 28 now, so I don't know, you know, a lifetime ago, you know, it seems like that. 18 years ago, but he, I think is one of the flags still has his name on it up there. But, you know, he played there. We traveled all over the country. Anybody who plays, whether it's local, you know, there's rec league, travel league, beer league, you know, even if my daughter did figure skating, finding ice time is critical. You know, I used to travel down there at 5 o'clock in the morning to bring them back to school when we lived up in Wesley Chapel. I mean, it was crazy. And then, you know, you got high school and college teams are playing the midnight or after. So,
yeah.
And so this is something that's, you know, anyone in the community knows this, and anyone who knows anything about hockey knows this, but it's that idea of we got to get more sheets of ice out here. Well, I have a good friend of mine, Gordy Zimmerman. I'm not sure if you know who he is, but, you know, he's been around. His sons played with my son back in the day. And, you know, that was, we had lunch not too long ago, early this year. And I brought the idea to him. I said, hey, let's talk about doing this. I said, I got this idea. We're already doing all this stuff. There's a synergy in that area that we're really getting ready to pop. Again, looking backwards, you got USF that's doing what they're doing with the stadium. You have, you know, the field house that's going up and all these other things. Let's jump on that same bandwagon and let's see what we can do with that. So they have since, you know, so I kind of worked with him on some, you know, critical plans. He's, you know, Gordy was the one who built there up there in Wesley Chapel.
Yep.
But he's center ice. And he's also doing the you know, the development out there in Trinity too. So, so he's involved with all that. So, you know, he has the knowledge and the ability and the willpower and the backing to do this. And he's on board.
Well, I wanted to ask, like, as far as the process, like in order to get, like, once approval is completed or approved, right? Like, where does it go from there? Like, what is the step-by-step from shovel in the ground to, you know, being able to skate on that ice? Is there typical time frame? I know Wesley Chapel, you heard the talk, and at some point you're like, is it ever going to happen? And then it just seemed like it happened overnight type of deal, but interested just to hear that.
Well, I was a battalion chief with Hillsborough County Fire Rescue for 28 years. So my whole life up until the government being a policy maker has been built on seconds and minutes, you know, get there, get it done, you know, save a life, put the fire out, go back and run another call. This is like the rusty wheels of, you know, trying to break it off there. Yeah. You know, like, come on, can we get something done? You know, there's gotta be a study. There's gotta be a meeting for the meeting. And I get it. We're talking about millions and hundreds of millions of dollars sometimes with people's taxpayer money. And we got it. One of the great things about this project though, is that we are talking minimal, if any, taxpayer money being put up front on top of this. This is all going to be, for the most part, privately funded. And that's what got everybody on this floor excited. And when I'm saying on the floor, we're on the second floor of the county center. My other six colleagues here got them excited about this because they're like, no tax dollars? Sound like a great idea. Can bring tax dollars in with bed tax, hotel tax, you know, sales tax, all the stuff that comes in with that economic development. And so that's what kind of the first step is, getting them involved, getting them on board. Now, that whole development is under what's a master developer, and they kind of, I'll say, control. They have the control over what they can see and kind of working with the county staff and our development team here in real estate. There's like a plan has to be put in place. You know, over here I have like, you can see on the wall over there, that's like a map. That's a map of the property that I have. But that's the kind of thing where I'm looking at trying to kind of eyeball, where can we do things? What can we do? And, you know, spitting some ideas out there. And again, I think the most attractive thing for everybody in the building is that it's not going to cost taxpayer dollars, and it's going to generate revenue, and we're going to get people more sheets of ice out here. I mean, you're going to have one in Brandon. I mean, yeah, the rink down there, I mean, it's on one of the worst roads in Tampa, but, you know, riding down Elizabeth Place, you know, it's crappy. But you know, it stays packed, you know, and Center Ice stays packed. And I know Terrain's going to stay packed. TBSA, Clearwater, all these are going to stay. You can't get on them. If we put four sheets there in USF or across from USF, my goal is to hopefully bring the Bulls over there up from a D2-3, maybe bring them up to a D1, and maybe even get the women's league up to, you know, ranked as well. So we'd have those possibilities that are there. I mean, there's just a lot going on. And I would say certainly by the end of the year, which is going to come up on us really quick, we're going to have a really solid answer on where we're going to be, whether that's just the rink itself, it's a rink with hotels and restaurants and everything else. It's going to be a place to go. I live in Lutz. I'm going to be hanging out there. I'm telling you right now.
So what I was going to ask you was, and you kind of just alluded to it, but the entire property, the plan, the studies, all the things that go into, you know, the feasibility studies and everything that goes into that area for growth, right. Is it going to be segmented, or is the plan to put together, I'll use the term, like a downtown feel, where like you show up and it's kind of all connected, shops, restaurants, hotels, stay and play, and just and not in the hockey sense that parents cringe at stay and play, but like go to Tampa, stay, play, drink, eat, have fun, and there's ice and there's USF. Like, is that the plan, Chris, is to have that sort of feel?
Absolutely. That is exactly, I see this being like a, I don't know if you ever go to Midtown or something like that, or a, something like that, where everything, you park your car, you can go around if you want to do something. And, but the difference there, and you guys know this, if you got kids have ever played, you go play, there's always, you're playing a tournament there, you're there for 2 days, and there's, you know, you're playing, you know, a couple hours and you're done, you're waiting, you come back, you play, you know, you get bracketed and all that. So what are you doing in between it? Well, we can run over there. I can go check out Mosey for a couple hours. Or you're there and you're bringing your wife and your other kids and they're doing something. Everyone doesn't have to sit on the ice and, you know, hear all the chirping, you know, that they can be out there. Because sometimes, you know, it's not always just a lovely language out there. But I think that's the idea. There's going to be a black box studio there as well. And then the crossover, if you have volleyball, we have basketball, it's going to be like a little sports mecca, you know, and we got the bridge that connects over to USF, and they're excited about, you know, what's going on with the stadium. All of this is just going to build in together.
Well, and you got Busch Gardens right there too, right? Like that's something for out of towners that you got a couple hours in between a game, you know, get a day pass and
hop over there. Do that.
Yeah, exactly.
This right here is, I think, and not on its own, but certainly is, I think, a really vital key component of making it even more viable to happen, to really kind of launch it off. I have, you know, we have LOIs with the Lightning, with other, you know, certainly some financing, all that kind of stuff. We got people that are ready to, I got a guy, Gordy, who's ready to break ground tomorrow if I let him. If I was able to, if it was up to me, we'd have, I'd be out there with a shovel with him, kind of getting ready to go. But it's not up to me. Certainly there's a process that has to take place. And again, the process takes a little longer, but we put a lot of pieces in place that have eliminated some of the questions that may come up. You know, where's the funding coming from? Can we do this? Do you have the developers ready to go? All that's sitting, like, you know, over here, ready to go. And it's just a matter of making sure the legalities of it fit. Everyone can play together well. You know, we can work with the master developer as well, or that Gordy can. And it's Iceman developer and going from there. But you know, the genie's out of the bottle, cat's out. No one's come to me and said, man, that's a terrible idea. Yeah. Not one. And I even got the blessing from the TSA guy himself, Ken Hagen, our Commissioner Hagen. I said, hey man, I only kiss your ring. I said, I need to ask your permission. Can I do that? He goes, get out of here. He says, it's the best thing in the world. He says, if you can pull this off, that's what we need to do it. And so that's kind of how I'm looking at it. I'm just really excited about it. I think, you know, this is a hockey town. There's no one's going to convince me otherwise. I went out to one of the first games that was in the old, out there at the fairgrounds. I mean, they guys are playing in puddles out there, you know, while they're skating. Yeah, we got dragging a squeegee behind them while they're running down the ice. You know, it's crazy. So if you know anything about it, you know, this is where we need to do.
So you mentioned LOIs from different organizations. And I'm curious, do you have, are there, and I know this is like way down the road, but I know it's important in a planning piece. We all need, they need sheets of ice. We need practice time. We need ice availability.
Right.
Are there, and if we can't spill the beans or it's not down that road, but are there any organizations other than maybe, you know, it sounds like USF is obviously a no brainer to utilize that as a home rink. Are there any other local organizations that you're in talks with or have approached you that are looking to either move or double in size or expand? Have you got to that level yet as far as who you intend to utilize the ice?
So it would be a public, as I see it now, it would be a public arena, right? Okay. Obviously with the ability to have USF using it. You know, I know that the Lightning use the Brandon rink, but, and they did a lot of upgrades down there when they, you know, they expanded that. Would they come way out there? I don't know if that's the same distance or not. But again, I think some of these are working with these, a lot of the larger partners in the area. Speaking with like the CEO of Steve Griggs and, you know, obviously the new owners and having them on board with this is critical. I think that's not going to be a hard task. We've got some soft commitments on those. Okay. Again, it's just a matter of everybody coming in together. And I think everyone's really waiting to see, like you guys are, and anyone who watches your podcast is like, what's the next thing to drop? Is it going to drop over here? Everyone getting excited for, man, and then you're like, oh, you know, man, I thought it was going to happen. And then it doesn't happen. Again, there has been no indication at all from my staff upstairs and, you know, county staff that have been here for years or anybody on this floor that this is not going to happen. As far as the community developer, Iceman developer and all that, they're all on board. We are ready to go. We have people ready to go. They're chomping at the bit. It's just got to kind of go through the BS bureaucracy that comes with messing around with county dollars and taxpayer funds and all that kind of stuff. But I'm on task. I'm going to make sure that it's expedited. My guy upstairs, the assistant county, deputy county administrator, excuse me, Greg Horridell is like, he's calling me again. I'm like, hey, man, you know, like,
exactly.
Yeah. Hey, it's been 2 weeks. Can I, where are we at? You know,
you get that toy Zamboni I sent you there?
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to put some fur boots on them and have them drag them around on that thing on the front, waving to everybody in the bikini.
No, so. I mean, you hit the nail on the head at the beginning. I mean, it's ice time, and we've said it on this, you know, on this show for the past year. It's the demand is there. You know, when you've got players practicing or, you know, men's league starting or beer league starting at 10:30, 11:30 at night, and they're not getting out until, you know, 2 a.m. I mean, it's there. It's definitely right there. So no, that's exciting. I'm excited. Can't wait to see it.
So Chris, I know there's bureaucracy and last question here. We'll let you go. And get back to way more important things to talking to us, but we appreciate your time today.
This is way more important, more fun than what I was doing earlier.
Oh, fun for sure. We will have some fun around here. That's for sure. But is there a timeline? And what I mean by that is, you know, Kevin made a point. Wesley Chapel seemed like it took forever and then it happened. And I've been in the hockey scene in Florida now for 6 years or whatever. And I've heard the Trinity Rink come out of people's mouths for 6 years. And now I think we're finally starting to get traction about, you know, what's coming and whatever. So to your point, people get excited when they hear this and we want ice tomorrow. What realistically can we expect for the next step and the next step and then doors open?
Well, I'm a bit of a rogue in so much that I haven't done this before, right? So I can't say that I'm not a politician anymore, but my character is not. Okay. So I am, because I'm a politician, but that's not my character. I've been used to kicking down doors and, you know, going to fires and running, you know, emergency to calls at, you know, 90 miles an hour down the road. You know, I'm all built on adrenaline and doing things quickly, fast, but certainly doing it smart, you know, and doing it in a way that makes sense and that doesn't get anyone hurt or damaged or anything like that. So, you know, if I'm talking about from the fireside,
yeah,
taking that same experience, bringing it into this, I'm going to keep the pressure on, and I'm hoping by the end of, again, everything shuts down in the government around December anyway, you know, right after Thanksgiving, there's holidays that roll around, there's only one meeting, that kind of stuff. So it kind of dials down. So over the next month and a half, 2 months is really where I'm going to try to press. I'm going to work with TSA, See what their needs are, work with Eric Hart over there, who's the, you know, the CEO over there as well. Again, work with the deputy chief administrator here to see, you know, what's lacking and what needs, and then make them, you know, kind of give me those ideas on what those needs are so that then they can work with the master developer. And ultimately, once all that kind of comes together, which again, I'm going to be like, you know, doing one of these, kind of getting, well, yeah, I mean, it's just, that's how I feel about it. I just really want to get this done. Because again, it's not like, man, where are we going to find the money? The money's there. You know, the want is there. And it's a need too. We have a need as well. So, I mean, we're hitting all the spots. And again, not one person has pointed out, ooh, that's going to be a bad idea. I haven't heard anybody say anything negative at all about this. And it's just a matter of, you know, cut some of that red tape and getting it done, man. And I am absolutely committed to doing that, even if I have to be an asshole about it as well. Hopefully this isn't, you know, PG, I know, but, you know.
Perfect. It's very greasy, Chris. Yeah. Very greasy.
I feel it on me.
Let me.
And don't kid everyone, Chris. On your way home, the Lutes, you have a shovel in the back and you're digging a hole every night, right?
It is nice, and I know it's county specific and it really has nothing to do with the other, but we had Larry Robbins on down in Palm Beach County, or I think it's Palm Beach County, and they got that rink approved with Wayne Gretzky down there in Palm Beach Gardens, and
love it.
Little different scenario, right? Public land and all this and that, but they got through the tape and they got it done and they're moving forward. And now we've got you guys doing it in Hillsborough County, and sounds like Pasco County is getting ready for another rink. Like, the fact that it's all happening in the state of Florida, and let's be clear, the Panthers and the Lightning have a huge part and hand in the development and the growth. And I'm from the New England area. That's what happened in Boston in the 70s, right? Long before my time. But Bobby Orr was, they call them Bobby Orr rinks. All those rinks that were built within 5 years of each other were Bobby Orr rinks. And now that's what's happening here. And we're going to look back when there's hundreds and thousands of kids more playing in the future because there's ice time to support them. The talent's better. The AAA is talent is in the state. We're not losing kids. My kids in Minnesota playing hockey, you know, kids are leaving the state to play at the higher levels as they get older. It's going to be awesome when they stay here because of people like you and the effort they're putting in. So appreciate what you're doing for the hockey community. And I really want to stay kind of aware of what's going on as much as you can and keep us in the loop. And when the walls and doors are up and the ice is getting painted, man, I'd love to come out and see the facility. And
yeah, we can definitely make that happen. And what I will commit to, you know, we have certainly got a lot of communication here, you know, phone and email. And what we'll do is that kind of stay in touch with each other. And it, as you're going along, you see something, you want to put it out there, say, hey, I just got an update, blah, blah, blah. You want to throw it up while you're talking. I'm happy to do that. And as things come along, I will filter those out. I am on a couple of these little hockey groups on the Facebook groups as well. Good. So, you know, I will endeavor to certainly put good information out. I'm absolutely open. If someone asking me a question, I'm not afraid to, you know, say, I don't know. I mean, sometimes I don't know, you know, I don't know what I don't know.
Embrace the crazy that's out there in some of those forums.
Yeah. Well, listen, again, I was in it before for years, you know, throw figure skating on top of that. It's a whole different thing too. You know?
For sure. Yeah. Is.
Absolutely. Well, we'll let you get back to your evening. We truly do appreciate you taking a few minutes to talk to us tonight, Chris. And thank you. And again, wish you all the best and look forward to keeping the line of communication open as this project continues on, and looking forward to some new ice in Hillsborough County. So thank you so much.
All right, brother. You guys take care and have a great evening.
Appreciate Thanks, Chris.
Bye.
All right, bud. What a great show today with Ashton and Commissioner Bowles. Great information from Chris. You know, first, it was awesome to hear from Ashton in general, just his story, his upbringing, the game, how he sees the game and his development. And then it was awesome to hear all the information from Commissioner Bowles on what's going on up there in Tampa, Hillsborough County. And his energy is kind of magnetic. And I feel like we could talk to that guy for hours and hours on end about all sorts of things. And probably if there was a bar involved, it would be a lot longer, but I thought it was great information across the board.
Yeah, no, Ashton, very impressed, well-spoken young man, obviously passionate about the game. And, you know, he's
an ambassador to Florida hockey, and it's great to see, and, you know, wish him nothing but the best this upcoming season. And Commissioner Chris, yeah, I could definitely tip a couple jars with him. It, he's got a great energy, obviously, you know, his background being a firefighter, you know, he's ready to kick the doors down and bring some hockey, more hockey to the Tampa Bay area. And it's exactly what we need. That location that they have is going to be, it's perfect. It's central, you know, you've got USF that's right there with everything that's around there for teams that come from out of state, being able to go to Mosey, being able to go to Busch Gardens, Adventure Island, you name it. It's going to be fun, man. I can't wait. Hopefully the shovel will be in the dirt here sooner than later, but it sounds like we got the right guy that's leading the charge.
Absolutely. And I don't live in Hillsborough County. I don't vote in Hillsborough County. So I know nothing about anybody on the board other than the 20 minutes we talked to Chris. But I think it's safe to say that he's probably the greasy pigeon of the commission down there in Hillsborough County.
It sounds that way. He's not afraid go in those dirty corners, man. That's it.
Absolutely. To get it done. No, absolutely. Well, Kev, great show today as always. I know the Bills are playing Thursday nighter this week, so enjoy kickoff, enjoy that game, and we'll talk to you when we talk to you.
Yeah. Hey, and kudos. Good luck this weekend, right? Your son kicks off his season, and we'll definitely talk about it the next show, and can't wait to hear how he does.
Yeah, two games on the road up in Minneapolis. He's playing for the Steele County Blades, as you know, and they opened their season against, dude, junior team names, the Minnesota Mullets.
I mean,
and their logo is like the Hulk Hogan with the mullet. Like, it is pretty badass.
And that is Minnesota High School at its, you know, like the heritage, right?
Minnesota hockey all the way around. So, yeah, two games this weekend, and I think he's going to see the net in one of them for sure, and just kind of waiting to see what that looks like. But, yeah. It's off and running, man.
It is. It is. It's awesome. Awesome time of year. This is the best time. That's when the best sports are played. And, you know, looking forward to seeing what this journey brings, right?
Absolutely. We will see y'all on the next journey. Enjoy your local weekends for those age groups that are playing around Florida in Sahoff and the Alliance this weekend. Best of luck to all of you. And I look forward to following along from your posts and your stories, and send us your clips and your videos of your top plays from your player. Send them, hit our socials, send them to us, DM to us, and we'll start putting together some highlight clips around the league weekend by weekend and start showing off some of our Florida talent to all of our listeners. So appreciate what you all do. Enjoy the weekend. Kev, enjoy yourself, and we'll see you next time. Cheers.